Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
When you talk about Dr. Ryan, I think of the opening scenes of Ghostbusters.
Well, it doesn't quite work like that. But Ryan was trying to, he certainly was a careful individual and did his very best to do careful research and certainly accumulated a lot of evidence. And he stimulated other people to do similar evidence. And when I was in my 30s, I was of that school. I thought that they could make progress in that line, but it doesn't seem to have occurred. I'm unclear as to exactly what's been proven by all that, except they keep proving there's something anomalous going on, but the underlying feature, I think, has not been proved. My personal way of is thinking about the nature of consciousness and speculating about the quality of consciousness and how that works.
You know, I think that the one clear component about the phenomena that almost never changes is that it is evasive and that you have to play the game on its terms and that it can change the rules anytime it wants to.
Well, that I would agree with that statement. It seems like it has a dream-like quality. When you think about the nature of dreams are outside of normal reality, but there's a certain structure to them at the same time. And so if we make a list of all the features of dreams, dreams are far more anomalous than a paranormal phenomena. In other words, in a dream, you could leap up in the air and fly, but the actual flying of humans is very, very rare, even when we include paranormal phenomena, you know, of a Catholic priest or two might do a little bit of flying, and a few other people levitate, but not very often. But in dreams, it's more common. So there seems to be kind of a continuum. It's a partial dream, and dreams is a partial shared dream quality. When a ghost appears, some people can see it and others not, when you have a collection of people. So it's as if some people are sharing the experience while others not. So it seems like with a sociological domain, you can explore this type of phenomenon and see which types of people are able to experience the phenomenon and what's the impact of them, of this manifesting. My theory is that a lot of this has to do with psychosomatic healing. Like the belief has very powerful health benefits. So if you believe in the phenomena, that gives you the potential to engage in shamanic ritual and something like that, which provides these health benefits. People who participate benefit through psychosomatic healing.
Was anything like that done through the Surratt Group?
Oh, yes. They did a lot of healings.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were hard. It had a funny characteristic, and people would be aware. They would feel the symptom would go away immediately while the session was going on, but then it would come back. And so I decided I would do, I was a young guy, 30-something, so I wrote down every case of attempted healing that involving Surratt, and I then monitored the case to see what the outcome would be. And some people had cancer. That seemed very severe, and I thought, well, it certainly isn't going to work in these cases. And other people had trivial things like fingernail fungus or something like that. I said, that's pretty trivial. You should be able to heal that with psychosomatic suggestion, right? But it turned out the cancers tended to go into remission, and a lot of these chronic trivial ailments, it didn't seem to help people in that area. But all in all, there's a pretty high percentage of success with regard to the healings. So I felt that, since I wasn't a believer at the time, I found that to be surprising. But it wasn't something that could be actually demonstrated. It wasn't a really carefully, validly controlled experiment. So I never was able to publish anything along the lines of what my findings were. I just mentioned it in my book, the fact that I conducted this experiment. And I was surprised. But, you know, people who have cancer, there's a probability of living and there's a probability of dying for each year. And we know that probability. So if you have cancer, you would want to be one who lives. So the idea of turning towards a spiritual healer is seemingly, folklore tells us that often, where that can be effective. I don't know how often it's effective, but it's to have a proper attitude would probably increase your survival rate.
You had talked about earlier the dreamlike quality of the phenomena and talked about flying. If our listeners go online, all they have to do is just put Surratt into Google and they'll come across a number of interesting sites. But there are a number of very fascinating photographs that show the group table tipping, but it's not just table tipping. It's there are photographs of the table levitating. There's photographs of, say, like there's a hat levitating over a table, a doll levitating. So, I mean, you know, there's some just absolutely fascinating photographs on some of the things that this group accomplished.
So many. And that was the one thing that I encountered when I first arrived at the group. A lot of people had scrapbooks, and they, when I visit them at their house, they bring out the scrapbook and then show me all these photographs of levitating objects. And they would tell stories to support it. And the levitating object would occur at the same time that an earthquake effect would occur. The whole room would shake, and then they had raps, and they would communicate with the deceased people, and they would, so many, many different unusual types of phenomena. Ports would appear, objects would appear in the room. A very, very robust phenomena.
Well, there's also a really good photograph that was taken involving an entity that called itself Myra, or Miss Myra Kavanaugh of Alton, Illinois. Are you familiar with that one?
Oh, very familiar. Tom described that event many, many times, and Elaine also described it. And they showed me that photograph and other similar ones again and again. The photograph is quite strange. It shows a woman, and it looks like she's got, I forget the exact era, but I think it's 1860, 1870, 1880 clothing. And she's sitting in a field, and you can see the shadows of the trees, but she's not casting a shadow. And now, this photograph is taken in the middle of the night, so If you believe Tom Richards, then something very, very strange is going on. But even the whole thing is a kind of quite an unusual event. It would be difficult to stage. I guess with modern technology, you could erase a person's shadow, I suppose.
Yeah, but this photograph was taken when, you know, you still had to have a dark room in order to do any photographic manipulations. You can't just put it on Photoshop now then.
Well, there's kind of a puzzlement. Now, I've talked to Tom many, many times about that photograph, and in his writing, he doesn't reveal the fact that he was in trance while this was going on, and Elaine took the photograph, and because I think he's embarrassed. He doesn't want people to think he was a medium, but he did go in trance, not frequently, and as time went on, it became less and less. But he did sometimes go into trance, and so he would do things which he was not aware of, and so it made for a kind of a strange portrayal because he wasn't really aware of what was going on. But it was apparently a story which was presented to him because the photograph exists and his wife would tell him what happened.
So do you think that Tom played a significant role in all this? I mean, I know he wasn't there right from the very beginning, but, you know, during the majority of this and the times that you were there, you know, he seems to be a key component to the activity.
We've got more to come, and we'll get that answer from Jim on the other side with not that other side, folks. With Jim and Tim and Jean, you're in.
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
This is the other side, but not of reality. Not the afterlife. This is the Paracast. Tim Schwartz, and our special guest this week is Jim McLennan, and we're talking about their efforts to explore the universe of the paranormal. Now, those who are involved in groups such as this, do they cover any particular age spectrum or what? I mean, can teenagers get involved?
Oh, most definitely, yes. Now, the Suresh were a little bit concerned. They didn't want young children to be involved because then they would talk to their schoolmates. And they experienced a very powerful stigma associated with this. And the Richards were very careful not to tell the people at their church what they were doing, because there's a huge percentage of the society who just can't seem to understand this kind of thing. So, yes. And in fact, I think teenagers are particularly prone to this. They're highly, there's a period of life where this dissociative capacity is at a high stage. So a good way to experience phenomena would be to have a bunch of teenagers go out together, men, boys and girls together. They go to a haunted house, probably bring some marijuana, some alcohol, and bang, they'll probably, a ghost will come and visit them. That's a folklore story, and when I collect folklore stories, that's a common thing that happens. But I don't know that it's really all that good for them. It'd be better to have some kind of structure around it. The Surratts had all different age groups. Now, the original Surratt group with Tom and Elaine, as he grew older and older, Ivan, their son, became more of a central figure, and his college friends were participants, and they started getting very robust phenomena. So, yes, it's an intergenerational thing. Previously, you asked, to what degree was Tom Richards the source? And a lot of people regarded him as like a poltergeist center of the phenomena. That was kind of my observation. I never observed the table moving about unless his fingers were touching. But I think that might have been my predisposition. I'm not sure. There are other people who could get phenomena on their own and did often. Whenever they were in a group, that group experienced phenomena. So there's other people besides Tom that were able to do this, but Tom was the one who was most oriented towards scientific investigation. And so he organized the groups, and he and Ed Cox worked to try to gain an understanding of this and to try to do the best they could. But it didn't work out as far as keeping the parapsychological attraction, because the parapsychologists wanted to keep increasing the controls tighter and tighter, and they brought in a research group from St. Louis. And the research group didn't seem to have an understanding of the need for rapport. And without that rapport, they didn't get very good results. So they wrote a famous paper, which they referred to as a failure to replicate. And the parapsychologists gave up on the case because it couldn't manifest under the conditions which they desired, which apparently involved not having the proper rapport.
Okay, the rapport factor, is that a collective belief or what?
I'm not sure. Now, it's something I could feel present in that room in Skyrim. But as time passed, it seemed like there was a lot of friction even within the group. So the rapport probably wasn't as high later on, but the phenomena wasn't as high later on also. So rapport is something that people feel in harmony with each other.
When you refer to friction within the group, does that mean that you've had many changes of memberships over the years?
Oh, there is always continually change of membership, yes. People come and go. And there's a segment of the group that's very interested in communicating with their dearly departed loved ones. That's what they really wanted. And they excluded Cox. They wouldn't allow him to attend their sessions because he was disruptive of that, dismissive of it. So there were factions, I guess you might say, but it wasn't like they were antagonistic, but different orientations.
But the way you describe it, it cannot be done with a large group of people, can it?
Well, there were sessions. I was not present, but in the early sessions, apparently there was a session where there were 50 people present, but it's somewhat disorganized. Not everyone's close in and able to, it makes for a chaotic situation. I've been present through sessions where there are 18 people, but it's too many. It's perhaps too many. And I did a careful analysis, and the actual highest level of phenomena seemed to be Tom and Elaine Richards when they were alone. They seemed to have the most robust phenomena. So it seemed to be a matter of having people who don't seem to thwart the phenomena. That seemed to be an important factor. And so certain people seem to reduce the phenomena. Other people were facilitators of the phenomena. Now, I'm basing my analysis on the data that I had about 5 years ago or 6 years ago. Now I've got a more complete set of Tom's notes. So someday, maybe a few years from now, I'll have another more complete analysis. But I'm pretty sure it'll support that hypothesis that certain people facilitate the phenomena and other people thwart the phenomena. Most of us probably don't have much effect one way or the other. And a lot of it depends on what you've experienced. If you've seen something, then that increases your probability of being able to see it again.
Now, I notice in your Appendix B, it's a do-it-yourself guide of some sort. What does that entail?
Well, there were a lot of writing about that back then, you know, 20 years ago or so. The bachelor door phenomena, bachelor door organized group, Kenneth Gap bachelor door. Then there's the Philip group, a group in Toronto. They organized a group and they got a simulated spiritualist phenomena with a fictitious spirit. So groups would get together, they all put their hands on the table, and then they think if they just relax and they meet regularly every week, that then the phenomena will manifest. So the thought was that this would be a good way of getting paranormal phenomena. Now, I tried organizing groups again and again. I probably tried about 4 different times to organize groups, and I over the decades, and I was not particularly successful. So I wrote that do-it-yourself thing based on other people's thoughts, and that was my thinking at the time of writing that. Most of that manuscript was written about 20 years ago, and then I couldn't find a publisher. Now, here we are, the year 2022, I think having a person who is very open and has had powerful experiences is probably a key factor. I think rapport is probably important, but it is also important to have a person who has had many powerful experiences. That seems to be a kind of like open a pathway for the phenomena to occur. And then once it starts occurring, then you're on your way. You can go somewhere with it.
I do see the book is published by Anomalist Books, and we've known those people for a number of years. They cover a really wide, wide range of paranormal subjects, so it's certainly worth doing it. It's 382 pages, it says here, 35 illustrations, and as you say, it took 20 years to get from there to here or with this book.
More.
I'm going to ask you some more things about it, and we're hoping you'll stick with our premium show after the PowerCast after this. But right now we're talking with Jim McLennan and specifically focusing a lot on the book, The Entity Letters. Your guest co-host is Tim Swartz. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News.
A bipartisan group of senators is visiting Poland and Germany this weekend to discuss the war in Ukraine. The delegation will meet with NATO military leaders and other top officials about the Western response to the Russian invasion. The group said in a joint statement that the Senate stands united in its support for Ukraine. U.S. officials have confirmed that Russia launched hypersonic missiles against Ukraine last week. The launches were likely intended to test the weapons and send a message to the West about Russian capabilities.
The town of Carbon, Texas, has been nearly wiped out by the Eastland Complex wildfires. Those fires have now burned over 54,000 acres and destroyed 86 homes about 100 miles west of Fort Worth.
All this is material things, but it's still heartbreaking, and we're just hoping to rebuild.
Officials there say the wildfires are now about 30% contained. Governor Greg Abbott has declared a disaster in 11 Texas counties. This is USA Radio News. Officials in Dumas, Arkansas, say as many as 20 people were shot, some of them children, and at least one person killed outside of a car show raising money for a nonprofit youth organization Saturday night. This is organizer Wallace McGee.
We did this here for 16 years without a problem. You know what I mean? And we want our community to come back. We're going to get through this.
A federal judge says a Kentucky county clerk violated two same-sex couples' rights back in 2015.
Kim Davis was the clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky, when the U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage in 2015, but the devout apostolic Christian denied issuing licenses to same-sex couples, citing her religious beliefs. The next step is to decide whether she is on the hook for legal fees that have accrued into the hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last several years. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
Volkswagen is recalling more than 246,000 SUVs in the U.S. and Canada because faulty wiring harnesses can make them break unexpectedly sometimes while in traffic. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, he's being taken up by an entity, Tim Swartz. We see that. Let me ask you kind of an offbeat question here with all these things going on. Contacting strange entities. Have you guys looked into possible UFO abductions?
Well, I certainly read about it, and there's a certain segment of the population who feels like they've had personal contacts with UFOs. And I have Masuwa Kyoto, a friend of mine from way back. He's a metal bender living in Japan. He has had kind of contacts. I don't think he's been abducted, but he feels like he's had UFO contacts. So that seems to be a way the phenomenon manifests. It seems to be something that people have. Now, it seems to me that if you're going to choose a kind of experience, it probably would be better not to choose UFO contacts and being abducted, because there's a lot of negative experiences. A lot of times it's negative, seemingly troubling, and they have missing time, and there's, it's not so much fun. But I could see, people they kid me, you know, because I'm so curious about this. I would like to be abducted, I think, because I'm very curious about it. And I think because I have the right attitude, I bet it would be a lot, I would have a lot of fun. I don't know. What do you think? What's your thinking about on the matter? Would you like to be abducted? Yeah. Would you like to be abducted?
I don't know about Gene, but no, that's not something that I would consider a highlight in my life.
Basically, it could be if they were really friendly UFO people, you know, have a good time, really party it up, you know. And
you have the situation in UFO contacts where we're told the Space Brothers care about us. They really care about us. But then I'm looking at what's happening in Ukraine now and all the other countries where we have devastation. Yemen, you name the country. Syria, where people are killed for no reason, innocent people, and they're not soldiers. And you think, if E.T. exists and E.T. cares a whit about us, they'd come down here and do something, but all they do is talk. I call E.T. feckless myself.
And I know about this from personal experience. My experiences in Vietnam were very uncool. It was not a good thing. I left there with a lot of negative attitudes, and so it's something you have to work with, and that's what our self-help elements at the end of each chapter provide people ways of dealing with it. And yes, there is this terrible, terrible problem, and human beings have some real problems, and I guess we're not going to last on this earth forever the way we're going. We'll destroy our own earth. But the question is, what can you do about it? And you want to be a positive person, because you're a lot happier when you're a positive person. And when you're a positive person, you can attract other positive people around you, and life can be a wonderful banquet rather than a terrible struggle.
Well, right now, of course, all the sci-fi novels covering the early 21st century talked of devastation, Armageddon. Even Star Trek universe, which tends to be optimistic, you look at the civilization in Star Trek First Contact, 2063, the condition of the world, and it takes a crazy inventor to invent warp drive and contact other beings, the Vulcans, to get them out of it. But that's just part of the standard sci-fi stuff. I mean, my son and I wrote a sci-fi novel, and we predicted all sorts of horrible things happening in the 21st century. So maybe that's the realization, or maybe we all knew first.
Well, okay, let's talk about the entity letters and the things that the entity said. They visualize reality as a bunch of forks, a bunch of choices that you make, and you could go one direction or another direction, then you have another fork, and then another fork. So your life is a whole series, like a huge tree, and the branches get wider and wider. And then when you die, you get a chance to see the whole tree, okay? And then maybe the earth is like that. All realities are like, we have all these multiple realities. So I could see that there's some branches where things are going to be really bad, just, you know, deceptic, and their famines and the plagues will be very prevalent. But then there's other branches where everything's working out just hunky-dory, and we have heaven on earth, and things really go the right way. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to always go the positive side to the degree that is possible, and instead of waiting for the death angel, I'll be waiting for Santa Claus to arrive. And I'll have a good time, and perhaps there's someone listening to this and they're having a whole lot of trouble, and they can send me an email and tell me their strange experiences. No problem, because we'll keep a positive attitude, and you can follow the exercises. And like, for example, just allowing yourself to practice meditation, take a breath in and then breathe out. And just focus on your breath. And you'll find, yeah, a thought comes. Maybe it's a negative thought. So then just let it go. You know, the future is bleak. Well, we'll let that go. Instead, future's positive. Okay. You know, take another breath in, let it out. It's possible to choose a positive direction.
You know, it's interesting, though, that you have the entities writing this back in, what was it, the early 1980s.
Yeah.
And now this is something that is really being seriously considered by modern physics.
Yes, indeed, indeed. It's the quantum mechanics, but it's the popularization of quantum mechanics. So it could easily be that this will become more of a prevalent belief system. And in harmony with quantum mechanics. And indeed, the field of quantum mechanics has now found that it is possible for the, you know, the entanglement, say a quantum particle at one edge of the universe and a quantum particle on another edge of the universe, these two particles are connected so that a change in one particle affects the other particle. That's a fact within quantum mechanics. This isn't just a speculation. So yes, it is kind of curious that this preceded, but you know, visionaries oftentimes come up with ideas that precede the actual acceptance of the idea.
Well, I think that wasn't there a part where somebody actually was trying to get some further elaboration from the entities about the whole idea of, you know, parallel realities, multiple timelines, that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden they became very evasive with their answers, kind of danced around the subject.
Yeah, a lot of it's BS. Yeah. 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 I'm reminded of a case. A guy in Great Britain contacted me because he read the book. He said, oh, we've been doing similar things here in Great Britain, and they had a group together, and they were traveling around Great Britain and looking for ancient artifacts and finding some. They found a Renaissance sword hidden in a stone wall.
And, oh, I know the guy you're talking about. Yes, I've talked with him before, huh?
Yeah, but he said, but you know, ultimately, this is all buttocks. So I think, you know, this is sometimes it's better just to have a kind of a down to earth attitude.
Yeah, his group had some interesting experiences as well, very similar to the Surratt group. I mean, they especially had a lot of apports in their sessions.
Yeah, now the book, if I remember correctly, one book is, I think it's called The Green Stone. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, that's correct, yes. I don't know if it's been published in the U.S., though. I think it's just...
It's hard to get a hold of. But, yeah, they had an unusual experience, and they found a sword in a stone wall, and it had to do with Mary, Queen of Scots, I think, or something like that.
We've got more with Jim, more with Gene, more with Tim. A lot of things to talk about. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR PR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We're talking about, right now, focusing on the book, The Entity Letters from Anomalous Books, with James McLennan, PhD, former sociology professor, talking about this group, Surratt, where they got together and pondered the paranormal. Now, how many groups like this are there? There might be a lot with only a few people in each, right?
Well, there's a lot of spiritualist groups that I've encountered, and so people are going that direction. I think they're sprinkled a lot of different places. Of course, I'm looking for ones that have real robust phenomena, and every now and then people come up to me and they say this happened or that happened. So I think there are people who have a somewhat robust phenomena, but there seems to be limitations on the phenomena. You know, it isn't something that manifests on demand.
You can't just bring it about, say, here.
Well, so here's been my experience in recent years. We have scientifically organized groups such as the Kenneth Bachelors group, where they did table tipping and they attributed it to the consciousness of the people in the group. And we have the Philip group experiment where they attribute it to some a fictitious spirit. Now, these would be experiments which theoretically could be replicated. I've been trying to put together groups, but I can't get the people to agree about what they want to have happen, because we have spiritualists and they want to contact with the spirits, and we have people who are familiar with the paranormal psychical research literature and they would like to replicate the Philip group, and the two can't get together, and people in this society right now are having trouble agreeing about almost anything. And some people are tell us that the virus is not something you have to worry about, and other people say, oh yeah, we've got to put on our mask and we got to get vaccinated.
Yeah, but that's a matter of fact versus fiction. It's not a matter of having opinions. There is objective fact that we're talking about. Masks do have a certain degree of protection, and the fact that vaccines have a certain proven degree of protection. And whether you believe a fact or not doesn't change the fact. You're entitled to your opinion, but not to your fact. But in terms of something as ephemeral as spiritualistic phenomena, all bets are off.
But it makes for arguments within the group. So people are spending their time arguing rather than focusing their mind on, they can't agree about that. How can they possibly agree about what they should focus their mind on? Like, I was trying to get the people to pick some particular focus of attention. Like, for example, Saint Simon, a Guatemalan saint, or Saint Francis, maybe a Catholic saint. We'll all focus our mind on that. But they can't seem to resonate. No one can't seem to agree on what to focus their mind on. So now I just use the term the entities. Okay, well, let's try and just focus on the entities, whatever they are. But that doesn't have the same emotional resonance as a collective focus, which you get in, say, a shamanic society where everyone's, you know, they close off the teepee and the teepee tents shake and they get the proper spirits coming and they can communicate and find out which way to go to find the buffalo, you know. I mean, you have some kind of objective. We seem to lack the social cohesiveness that might be necessary to really get the phenomena to manifest.
You're also implying the phenomena is subjective, that it depends very much on your perceptions of reality. If you perceive things to be a certain way, that's what you get. If you perceive it in a different way, you get that instead?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure. We've been meeting online for a number of months, actually a number of years now. The very first session, this woman who was participating in her group, a plague mask, which was a souvenir that she bought in Venice, came flying off a mantle and fell onto the floor during our meeting. I was thinking, well, we'll have to wait for months and months and then we'll get some phenomena. The phenomena started manifesting almost from the beginning. So that violates my assumption. I thought it would take a long time. I thought that we needed to develop rapport. I mean, I'm calling this group Society for Research on Rapport and Telekinesis. Maybe even that assumption isn't necessarily true. I don't know. But that phenomena, that plague mass falling, that preceded this virus which spread all over the world. So it seemed like a precursor of it, an omen of it, in a way.
I would think here that if anyone's capable of predicting the future, that would be something. They can predict a future event, just like before 9/11. People had some kind of feeling of dread, and I've talked often about my experiences when the wife and I and my son, the visit to the World Trade Center about 6 weeks before 9/11, and there was an escalator taking you to the top level. I couldn't go up that level. I was just scared to death. I just had to sit down in the coffee shop beneath it and just pray that they get down so I could leave the building. I did not feel comfortable until I left that building.
So that's the kind of story I've been spending my life writing down, people's stories like that. That would be a story. It's like a precognition. But at the same time, the precognition didn't allow you to publish a warning saying, please don't go to the World Trade Center on such and such a day. You know, the information is very rarely specific enough to have an impact on us.
Imprecise, certainly, definitely imprecise. You felt you need to get away from there, but you didn't know why. Now, maybe if I had a different way of looking at it, I could have figured out that there's going to be some horrific event in a few weeks hence. But no, I just wanted to get out of there, and I didn't stop to think logically.
Yeah, there seems to be, and there's, you know, if you look in the Old Testament, the prophets were always warning of the impending problem. If you don't behave yourself, something bad will happen. And then if you wait long enough, and it tends not to be very long, something bad does happen. So that's something we can pretty much count on. And the people who warn us about it, there's a kind of service about that. They're serving the society. But my own particular orientation, when people warn me about the demons and the demonic forces, I feel that I'm kind of protected. I feel like, for some reason, I guess I really haven't done that enough bad things, really.
Right, but then the belief in demonic forces doesn't necessarily depend on your belief structure that you haven't led a good life. You might just believe in that particular thing. Like some people believe in UFOs being demonic, but that's their belief, and it doesn't mean they are.
Here's been my experience. Certain people have had experiences, and that causes them to believe in the demonic forces. I mean, they have a rational basis for their belief because they've had experiences of it. That's a process that I keep encountering. People who have seen something, of course they believe in it. It makes sense for them to believe in it. Some people have had very negative experiences. Here, I'll tell a quick story about my work in the psychiatric hospital. There was a guy who came in and he had a demon inside of him, and he had had it for 7 years, this demon, and he would plan to commit suicide. And so they had brought him into the psychiatric hospital, and I have to do a lot of paperwork, so I was interviewing him. And he was telling me that he was going to get out eventually, and as soon as he got out, he was going to commit suicide. I care about the people. And so I said, well, please don't commit suicide here in the hospital, because that'll really cause a lot of paperwork. You know, that's going to be, and you're really going to harm, it'll make it really bad for me. Well, to make a long story short, I talked him into taking his meds, and I talked him into believing in this one psychiatrist. The psychiatrist gave him, prescribed the medicine. He took the medicine. The voices went away.
Jim McLennan, can you tell us where do we find more information about you?
Well, I've got a website, jamesmclennan.com, and I've got a YouTube channel having to do with James McLennan YouTube channel, and then you can find the mini lab films about Surratt there, and you can see objects move around inside a sealed container and come out through the surface and everything, and see Penn's writing letters.
Hey, you can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Find us on Facebook. Also, the Paracast. Find our branded merchandise at theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop with the logos and the T-shirts. Check out the Paracast.plus for our premium show. The premium show consists of several parts. The major ones, of course, this show free of the network ads, and the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, where Jim will return for further discussions. For more information, go to theparacast.plus. Special offer while it lasts. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, to get a 20% discount on lifetime and 5-year subscriptions. Theparacast.plus. Jim McLennan, thank you so much for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. ExtendoVite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in ExtendoVite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on ExtendoVite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get ExtendoVite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.